There's this one type of sales email that is absolutely littering and infesting the inboxes of decision makers. And the problem with this type of email, aside from being incredibly typical, is it has the rep come across as needy, annoying, insensitive, and even quite tone deaf with everything that's going on in the world. But here's the kicker. The type of email itself isn't the problem, because there's actually an incredibly useful application for it. So today we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new online course, which is going to be launching on April 21st, 2021. Just 10 days from now, it's the 11th, as of this podcast episode. And it's a really cool topic, if I do say so myself. We're going to be talking about how to hunt for new business more effectively. And I'm going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast, but if you happen to be impatient like I am and you'd like to check it out now and you're not in the car and you can just kind of pull over and do so safely, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/hunt better. So today we're going to be talking about something that is a bit of a sore subject with me, or at least it has been in the past. And it's this whole concept of bump style emails. Now, before I define what a bump style email is, for those of you who have been listening to me for a while and you've been reading my blog posts, you know that I despise these types of emails. And you might be inclined, if you've heard me rant about this before, to kind of say, you know what, I think I'm going to sit this episode out. I want to encourage you to stick around, and here's why. I'm not going to really go off on my typical rants about how much I hate these bump-style emails. What I'm going to do, and yeah, I am going to rant a little about it. I'm sorry. Tough shit, right? I kind of got to get it out of my system. But what I'm going to do today that's going to be a little different is that I actually believe that, you know, bump-style emails can be useful. There can be a practical application for them. So I want to make sure that we go there with the discussion. So first of all, so that we're all learning from the same perspective, let's get a working definition of just like what the hell is a bump style email? A bump style email is an email where usually people have either a special app or they have software that does this automatically. So you're basically sending someone an email, and then you program it for typically about 3 days later. Sometimes it's a week later or whatever. But say just a few days later, you program it so that either it's forwarded again from your sent folder, or more often than not, it's kind of like a reply all from your sent folder. And you know, there's a lot of reasons why people do it, and I get, in fact, let's kind of, you know, keep this going and just, you know, just kind of lay it all out, because it's going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly as far as these bump style emails go. So what happens is that a few days later, a week later, automatically it's programmed in that this is going to be kind of a reply all. Now, in the reply all or the forwarded message, there's usually, not usually, I would say just about every time, there's going to be another message that's going to be in there. Like, you know, Paul, didn't hear back from you on this. Which is one of the reasons why I hate the effing thing, to be honest with you. I just can't stand that. Where's the value in that? it might be, you know, do you have a chance to look this email over? You know, what are your thoughts? That kind of thing. And so they're doing this for a lot of reasons, okay? So now, if you talk with people who use this type of email and you talk to the marketing folks, you know, the intention really isn't bad here. I just think that they're executing poorly on something that could really be brilliant. So I want to tell you what I think can be brilliant about it if we use it the right way. And then I'm going to offer what I believe the right way to go about this is. And then, yes, I am going to rant about bump style emails because I just hate them that much, the way they're usually used. So one of the things that makes this effective, bump style emails have a very high open rate because what happens when you reply to something that you sent to someone, that RE shows up, right? Kind of that regarding thing in the subject line shows up in the message that you've just replied to because you're replying all. And the recipient sees that. And what happens when we see an RE in the subject line, especially if it's legit, which we're going to kind of talk about that in a minute. But when you see an RE in the subject line, well, the way our brains work when we see something like that is, oh, wow, you know, this is a conversation that's active. This is something that I'm engaged in. So what happens? Well, that gets priority. You're going to see what the heck's going on. And what happens is, with a lot of decision makers and certainly business owners like me, we see that in the subject line and we open it because we have so many damn conversations going on with so many damn, you know, so many damn, I sound very angry, right? There's so many damn people. Right? I feel like I should like exit this podcast, go out and chase kids off my front lawn. But seriously, we have so many conversations going that you lose track. So you see that and you go in. Now, before I continue along, when I say that that RE in the subject line gets more emails opened, that is not an invitation for you to engage in dickish behavior. Yes, I said dickish behavior. And what I mean by that is, you know, a situation where you're being deceptive. That doesn't mean right now, hey, you know what? Yeah, never mind what he's saying about the damn bump emails. Yeah, if we just put an RE in the subject line, there, I promise you, yes, if you just get cute and you put an RE in the subject line, I can't imagine anyone opening that up, realizing that you just bullshitted them, because that's what you've done, realizing it, and then say, you know what, you fooled me fair and square, you know, let me hear you out. I just can't imagine any relationship or, you know, or trying to build a solid foundation to a relationship based on deception. So I'm going to tell you, don't get cute with this and put an RE in there. But again, one of the things that can make a bump style email more effective and get higher open rates is that it's going to naturally put an RE into the subject line. And if anybody is struggling with what I'm saying, just take an email, right? Like, you know, send one to your wife or, you know, women, send one to your husband, right? And go into your send file and reply all, and then look at how that looks in the subject line. You're going to see the RE that I'm talking about. So that's one of the good things about it. So again, in the past, you've only heard me shit on these bump style emails. I want to tell you what are some of the good things about it. Now, here's the other good thing about it, is that it can absolutely help the recipient see not only a history of communication, because it's actually, you know, forwarding and showing really what's happened there. Now, most of the time with a bump style email, there's no response. There hasn't been any response from the recipient. So it's not showing really a history of a dialogue, because there is none, but it's showing more or less a history of things that you've shared with them. So, and that's going to be a key component here, because a lot of our prospecting efforts are valueless. And what I mean by that, so much of the prospecting process, when it's done poorly, is really me-centered instead of you-centered. So what I mean by me-centered, if I were constantly trying to get a hold of you from Castain Training Systems, which is the company I own, it would be really things centered on me and trying to have an appointment with you and trying to sell you and telling you how great I am and, you know, how I've now at this point trained basically 40,000 sales reps, all this kind of stuff that really at the end of the day, really who gives a shit, right? Especially at this part of the relationship, I wouldn't blame you to be underwhelmed by that messaging. So there's really no value in that. But now, what if not every single message, what if we engaged in what I like to call off-on messaging? An off-message is a message that I send you, or heck, it could be even something where I verbally deliver the message to your voicemail. I can verbally send it to you over on LinkedIn. It could even be a video message where I embed a video of me talking to you, calling you by name, and sending that along to you through either email, actually even over on LinkedIn. There's a little button that you can push there where you can send a video message. You can send voice messages over there. But here's the point. What if on an off message, you know, I'm sending you something where there's no sales message, there's no ask involved, and it's simply giving you something, perhaps a resource. Perhaps I'm sending along a no strings attached idea. I could even play matchmaker and introduce you to someone else that you really should know. Again, these are more valuable forms of outreach than every single time that I'm trying to get in touch with you, I am asking you for an appointment or asking you to buy. Now, that's an off-style email, but an on email is not necessarily one that's going to be salesy, but it's going to be an email where there is a sales ask, right? Where I'm asking for an appointment. I'm asking to set up a Zoom meeting, something like that. So now, if I use one of these bump-style emails there, that could be very valuable, right? As opposed to doing what most people do with a bump style email, and they're like, hey, did you get my last message? Hey, what are your thoughts? Still waiting to hear back from you. In fact, let me just like share some of the shitty uses, and then we'll get back to what I think could be more, you know, ways to provide value with a bump style email. A lot of the times when people send along these bump style emails, remember I said it's basically showing you the last message. It's the equivalent of forwarding along. In this case, we're kind of doing a reply all. There's an app or software that'll do this for you. And there's a message that you put in there. And some of the shitty ones that I've seen and I've experienced and I've been on the receiving end of is things like thoughts or, you know, hi, Bob, just circling back to see if you had a chance to read my previous email. Here's an all-time favorite. Didn't hear back from you. Just wondering whether you saw my other email. So what I'm thinking is, one of the good things about a bump style email, if you don't engage in this, all these cliches here that I provided you with, what you actually can do now is you can continue a thought, because they're going to have context now. They're going to see the last email. So if I sent you an idea, I can schedule a bump style email, if I don't hear back from you, that says, you know, it calls you by name, and I could say something like, hi, Janice, one more thing before I forget. In the last email, as you can see, I suggested A, B, and C. You know, here's a fourth option for you that, you know, where we've seen a lot of clients out there getting a lot of traction. So do you see what I've done? I can continue the thought, and I've given them a context, because if I sent you an email and I'm saying to you without any context, oh, by the way, I wanted to continue my last thought. Well, what thought? I get 200 effing emails a day. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, unless it was just some incredibly amazing idea you sent them, how could that possibly work out? So you could do that. I mean, if you do that idea where I said to you that you send along a resource, well, what you could do then is, you know, you could do something, or you could even do it with an idea. Say I'm sending it to, you know, Tammy. Curious Tammy, did you give this idea a try? Right? Another thing that I can do, if, you know, let's just say I had a really good conversation with somebody on the phone. Now, one of the things I teach, and I'm going to be teaching it in this upcoming course, How to Hunt for New Business More Effectively on April 21st, is that when you have a really good conversation with a decision maker, but that day it didn't end in an appointment or whatever, or a sale, but most of the time when we're prospecting, we're going for the appointment first. I think you should definitely send along some kind of a thank you, right? I mean, definitely handwritten, that's all cool and everything, and certainly do that. But if it's one of these scenarios where somebody says, you know what, do me a favor, you know, let's circle back in a few weeks or whatever, or you know what, I have to meet with my boss, I'll get, you know, and see what he has to say about it, or meet with my team, meet with accounting, and you know, I'll get back to you. So what you could do actually with the bump style email here is you can simply confirm what you guys agreed to verbally on the phone call, and you could send along email, and this would be at least like a two touch sequence that we're talking about. So in the first touch, you would simply acknowledge what you agreed upon in the phone call. Then you could set up this bump style email to, again, reply all, show the context. Again, the context here is that, hey, you know, we basically agreed that you would have a conversation with your team, your boss or whatever, check the budget, and that we would circle back again. You know, how did that conversation go? Or, you know, I tend to avoid yes or no questions because I don't think they really create much of a dialogue. It's almost like that old open and close type of questions. I like something more open so that we can do. Also, too, an interesting thing about presenting someone with a yes or no question, and I think this plays in more on the phone. But, and I wish I had this at my disposal, because I remember hearing this years ago, and I certainly experienced it. When you give people the choice between answering yes or no when you're prospecting to them, it's actually a lot safer for them and easier for them to get you off the phone by answering no. Seriously, it's like, in fact, I used to call it serving up a no on a platter. Just making it very easy for them to say no. So we want to be careful of that. But again, you see, these uses so far that I'm giving you, I'm not going to win some copywriting award for doing them. But what I wanted to point out is that not all bump emails are bad. But I could tell you, damn near 100% of the ones I'm getting are bad. They're effing terrible. I mean, seriously, even terrible would say it's terrible. That's how effing terrible it is, if you can imagine that. So, you know, consider using bump emails, because you can certainly get the benefit of that RE in the subject line without being dickish, as I said before. You can also provide context and a history of what you've been sending them. You can obviously have a continuation of the thought. If you sent an idea, you could say one more thing. You know, if you send a resource, you can certainly do that. If you're, you know, we talked about another type of valuable email you can send is introducing to people. And if you didn't hear back from them, say, you know, you can basically send a bump email to both. Hey, guys, did you get a chance to connect? You guys should know each other. So, you know, absolutely, there's some practical uses there. But what I want to get back to very quickly is the improper way to use the bump email, which, again, is how they're being used. Now, before I go on to the next thing, I'm going to say something that is going to piss off probably any marketing folks that are listening to this podcast. So I feel a need to preface something here so that I'm not just taking off the gloves and I'm coming across as anti-marketing. I love marketing. You got to realize that a lot of my career was spent in the printing industry, and I worked with a lot of marketing folks. I always appreciated marketing because I've owned two businesses throughout my career, and I didn't have the benefit or the funds to have marketing people, so I had to do a lot of it myself. You know, right now as we speak, I'm a one-man operation, so a lot of the marketing that I'm embracing, I'm really doing myself. So I totally appreciate marketing. But my issue with some marketers, remember I just said some, is that they're lacking the battlefield experience and the practical awareness to know the ramifications of certain actions, right? It's because we're out on the street as sales reps and we're in the trenches. I feel like we're better qualified to make decisions on certain things over marketing. Again, this doesn't mean they suck or there's no use for them. So before you're thinking about sending me some hate email here, I just want to be clear. I love marketing folks. But when it comes to this whole business of bump style emails, I'm going to tell you what, I sure to hate them. I hate the marketing department because they're the culprit in many cases. They're telling sales leadership that they have to have this, and they're backing it up with factual shit. And you know, there are a lot of things that I would put under the heading of factual shit when it comes to sales tactics and things like that, but they're half truths. Half truths are just very dangerous because on the surface it's like, well, yeah, that's true. Like, I'll give you an example of a half truth in sales. You guys probably have heard me say this a million times if you've been listening to me. A half-truth is you have to find the pain in sales. If you're a salesperson and you're having a meeting with a prospect, you've got to find the pain. You see, that is a half-truth because there's nothing false about that statement, but it's not the whole truth. You know what the whole truth is? You can't just focus on pain. Seriously, you can't, because pain doesn't always exist in a business. It doesn't always. I mean, again, you're talking to someone who's having a great quarter or a couple of consecutive quarters, or they've been profitable or whatever. If there's no pain that exists, you know, you're going to walk away with a whole lot of nothing if that's all you're probing for. But if in addition to pain, you're also focusing on opportunity, well, then that's a whole other discussion. And it opens more doors for you. So that's why I'm saying it's a half-truth. Just like this bump email thing. Yeah, absolutely. There are higher open rates. I'm not going to lie to you. There are much higher open rates. But, you know, higher open rates can amount to dick. Seriously, it can amount to dick. Because, you know, almost every time I'm opening up a bump email because they piss me off. And I want the opportunity when I get these needy emails from people, like, you know, basically, I haven't heard back from you, you know, still awaiting a reply, because there is a satisfaction. Maybe this is like a pathetic low point of my life here, but there is a satisfaction that I get in sending back like a caps lock, all caps, remove, you know, remove me from your list. I'm not even nice about it at that point, because again, the ones they are sending are typical, needy, annoying. I personally think that right now that you can come across as tone deaf if you're sending these out, those types of emails that I'm just talking about right there. I'm not talking about the other example. I'm talking about the examples where we're almost giving this vibe of entitlement, that we are entitled to a response from someone. I think if you're pulling that shit during a pandemic, A, you should hang your head, because you should be ashamed of yourself. Because if you're thinking that responding to you is the most important thing for that decision maker, when some of them are fighting to stay alive, some of them are struggling with the idea of layoffs. And, you know, I really don't want to lay these people off, but money is tight. They're struggling with a lot of issues, even all the logistics involved in reopening. Now, some of you guys listening to this are in different parts of the world. This isn't all the U.S. Now, you know, how about being in a business or operating up in Canada, which, you know, they opened up, but guess what? Now they're back in lockdown. That's very difficult to be, you know, okay, now we're open, now, okay, lockdown, right? It just makes things very difficult to navigate. And now you're struggling with all that, and then you get some insensitive shithead sends you one of these bump-style emails, and it's like, hey, I can't believe I didn't hear back from you, or still awaiting a reply, or giving this a friendly bump to the top of your inbox. I mean, tell me you're going through that and you're struggling. I'm not saying that you should do this, but tell me you wouldn't want to type back a reply like, yeah, well, how about you F off, right? I mean, seriously. So you don't want to come across that way. So there you have it, folks. I mean, in the past, I've always beaten the hell out of this idea of bump emails. Now I'm changing my tune a little. I guess that's part of being a mature adult, where we look and we say, you know what? They aren't all bad. And maybe in many cases, it's a lot like the cold call. And what I mean by the cold call is that the cold call has gotten a bad rap. A lot of people say they're ineffective, they suck, you know, the cold call is dead. And we're blaming the cold call itself, and that kind of lets the sales rep off the hook. I mean, the poor cold call didn't go and aggravate somebody. It's the person who's embracing that particular form of outreach. And you know, the way that maybe they're doing it poorly. That's the problem. And here with these bump style emails, right now my thinking is going down the road that the bump style email isn't horrible. It's the way that a lot of people have been using it. So I've given you a few ideas. Now, I have a suggestion for you. And this is what I think you should do. I think one of the best ways to learn something is to go and teach it to someone. Bring this idea back to your sales team and talk to them about this idea of bump style emails. Look into the different apps and software that's available to you so that you can start using them. But what I would also do, if you have a sales meeting around this, is brainstorm ways that you can utilize a bump style email without any of those things where you're circling back or didn't hear from you, just wondering whether you saw my other email. And brainstorm that. Now, one other thing I didn't say before, I don't believe I said it, and this is really important because I left out something just pretty key in this whole thing. This way that a lot of people are using bump emails, when I said that I really believe that it's that they're doing it incorrectly, where they, you know, they don't hear from somebody a few days later, it's kind of didn't hear back from you, just circling back or whatever. The key thing that I left out here is that typically when I receive these types of emails from people, it doesn't end with that first time forwarding the last email shit, or, you know, that first time replying to all. No, it usually happens 2 to 3 more times, and it ends the same way every time with me saying remove, all caps, and like 50,000 exclamation points, because they are irritating. So I just want you to keep that in mind. So again, there you have it. You've got your homework cut out for you. I think it's very important when we find ourselves in a situation where we just despise a certain type of sales approach, or the opposite end, where we absolutely are in love with a particular approach, that we allow ourselves the ability to challenge our thinking. What I've done this week is I've challenged my thinking on the bump emails, and I simply asked myself a question before putting together the ideas for this podcast. I said, you know, in what ways could I use a bump style email? And that's where I came up with some of those other ideas about, you know, sharing an idea with somebody and then following up, hey, one more thing, or, you know, just continuing my thought from the last email. You know, asking them, hey, you know, what happened when you tried this idea? Or, hey, did you guys get a chance to connect? That kind of thing. I really think it can inspire dialogue And it could actually be utilized well. And certainly, at the very least, you're going to stand out because you're not doing this typical stuff that people are using, or this typical approach that other sales reps are embracing right now with bump style emails. So if you like this idea, we're actually going to be talking about a lot of different ways to hunt for new business. And when I say different ways, I mean, we've really right now, with everything that's going on, there's a lot of noise that's going on out there. And, you know, sales reps are coming out of the woodwork. And what's happening is that decision makers are being carpet bombed with messaging. So it has never been easier for a sales rep to be disregarded and deleted. So we've got this new course that's going to be coming out starting on April 21st, 2021, and it's called How to Hunt for New Business More Effectively. And I've loaded it up. It's going to be 4 sessions, but the good news is this. If you can't, we're going to meet for 4 weeks in a row. I believe it's on Wednesday, starting on April 21st, for about an hour. If you can't join us live, I always record the sessions. I send out the replay within about an hour after we end the session. And so you could either join us live and just enjoy the replay as a refresher, or if you can't join us live, you could definitely go at your own pace. I've loaded up the course with a ton, and I mean like a shit ton, of extras between templates. I have a PDF with ideas that your peers, you like the way I rhyme there? Didn't do that intentionally. Ideas that your peers, creative ideas anyway, are using to get in front of more prospects. I put together another PDF with tons of ideas that I've been field testing out there to get decision makers' attention without being sleazy or needy or anything like that. We have also phone scripts, voicemail scripts. I put 2 bonus pre-recorded sessions in there. You ready for this? One of them I decided to call Getting Your Shit Together. Seriously. Because I could teach you all the greatest ideas in the world, but if you can't get this stuff on the calendar and you can't get a prospecting system in place, well then, you know, it's useless, right? So I have a bonus session called Getting Your Shit Together, because I needed to name something that. And then I have a bonus session, again, pre-recorded, on how you can use LinkedIn to generate more leads. I really believe a lot of people are using LinkedIn the wrong way. And again, who am I to say what the right way and the wrong way is? But maybe a better way to say it is that they're using it in a way that's not getting them the results. And therefore, like any other venue that we try, we blame the venue. Ah, LinkedIn sucks. Well, no, LinkedIn doesn't suck. Sometimes we're the one who sucks. So 2 bonus sessions. Also, after each session of the course, you're going to get one-on-one feedback from me. Well, that's not entirely true, actually. There goes the half-truth. Provided you hand in your homework assignment, you're going to get one-on-one feedback. And that's something that only my coaching clients who pay $2,000 for 12 sessions with me they're the ones who could only have that kind of access in the past. You're going to have that kind of access. But here is the thing that I haven't done in a year, and I'm so excited that we're able to do it in this course. I'm going to be pairing you up with someone else in the course, and you guys are going to become accountability partners. Or if you watch South Park's, what do they call it? Accountability buddies, right? But we're not going to call it that in the course, because some of you who haven't seen it just think, man, he's off his rocker. So what's really cool about that idea of having, or this concept of having, an accountability partner, this will be someone else in the course who's going through it as you are. And you guys are going to hold each other accountable. You're going to brainstorm ideas. You're going to set goals based on the course. You're going to check in with each other once a week. And ready for this? Hold each other accountable. If you ever want to accelerate your progress, have someone else there that you have to show up and face a week later. That, by the way, is one of the key components of my one-on-one coaching program, is that you have that accountability with someone who truly wants you to succeed. So you really, you can't, you know what I always tell people, when you have an accountability partner, you can't hide in the back of the classroom. You've got someone else that's saying, hey, dude, you said, you know, it's a week later, you said you were going to do these things. You know, where, you know, how you doing with it? And kind of break each other's balls about it, right? So that's one of the things we're going to be doing. So if you want to learn more, I hope that you do, because I have to make a confession. I mean, some of you who have been really big fans of the podcast, you notice I just don't have the time that I used to. I'm really at an advanced stage of the business right now. Our 10-year anniversary just passed, by the way. So it's a lot more complicated now than it was when I first started doing the podcast. I don't have as much time as I used to be doing the podcast. I'm going to try to do them when I can, but I haven't done one in a month. Courses, the last time I launched a new course was a year ago, and it was at the beginning of the pandemic. So I can tell you, this is, if you listen to me in the past and you think, oh yeah, I'll have a new course, he always does, you know, you would have been waiting a year. And I'm telling you, I have no plans on the horizon for another course anytime soon. I simply don't have the time, especially to provide a course at the level that I want to provide them now, where you're handing in assignments and I'm giving you that one-on-one feedback, where, you know, you have the accountability partner, where I'm able to throw in a lot of extras. And when I'm doing a lot of extras, that means, well, hell, I got to pre-record two sessions here for you, right? I have to do all these templates for you and everything else. So I would rather offer you less courses but give you just a much better experience than the way we were doing it. Again, no complaints on the way that we did it, but it's just kind of where I'm at right now. So again, you want to learn more, you want to join us, don't procrastinate. I would do it right now. At least have a look at the damn course. Go to yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. That's all lowercase, all one word, yoursalesplaybook.com/huntbetter. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Subscribe to our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.